Good morning. Nice to see you all this morning. We end every practice session with four Bodhisattva vows. Sentient beings are numberless, and we vow to save them. Desires are inexhaustible, we vow to end them. The dharmas are boundless, we vow to master them. The Buddha's way is incomparable, and we vow to attain it. So there's only one way this is possible. The six paramitas. Six paramitas are generosity, ethics or precepts, patience, diligence, meditation, and wisdom. And these aren't separate. If any one of these falls out, it all falls out. Where does it go? Deluded view of I, me, and mine. Let's take the first one, generosity. How can you be truly generous of spirit, of your being, in this world? Through the understanding that everything is connected. There is no separate entity by itself. There is no I, me, and mine. Everything is related. Secondly, ethics or precepts. What are precepts? Our precepts are like guides, right? Don't kill. You know, don't steal. You know, don't lie. You know, don't abuse sexuality. Be caring and loving relationships. You know, these basic precepts. Don't be intoxicated by substances or doctrines. How many people in the world who are identified with I, me, and mine are intoxicated by doctrine? There are many forms of addiction. So that brings us to the third one, patience. This one is relatively easy to understand after you've just been through the first two. Because it takes patience in this world, doesn't it? Of Disneyland, of our work environment, of our relationships. So even with the best intentions, when we really come from a very clear and good space in our contribution or actions, we could still be misunderstood or not appreciated. So if we're identified with I, me, and mine, then we're feeling abused, misused, misunderstood. So that was patience. Now comes diligence. So now we have to be willful and focused in our pursuit of this dharma, this understanding of self. This opportunity is this opportunity. It's not back there, and it's not out there in the future somewhere for you to experience when you finally get around to it or get it. This is where your diligence comes in. Come back to here right now. Just stop. This brings us to meditation. So meditation teaches us focus, concentration, and getting to know ourselves, getting to know what we are not. Not this. But what else is going on here? What do we learn in meditation? Only this, just this moment. There is nothing else. What's left? It's wisdom. It comes from our essential nature. Wisdom is intuition. Wisdom is what makes sense of all this. It's nirvana, it's enlightenment, it's understanding the nature of our very essence and our being, who we are. I think six perfections aren't something that you achieve, but you may have to resort to paying attention to them because of what's happening in your life. You may have to resort to understanding, generosity, precepts, moral conduct, patience. One of these might just kind of pop out at you at some point. This one, I need to practice this one today, this moment. Be here. Be in this moment, right now. And then let the generosity and the precepts and the patience and the diligence and the meditation and the wisdom work in your life. And then the four bodhisattva vows take care of themselves. So all of these techniques that Buddha taught us, these expedient means, are just ways for us to get to know ourselves, to understand what's happening here. What is this? But they're there for us to use. They're tools. You know, so yeah, we're thinking. We have an intellect. We try to put everything in categories and all of that. Just be patient with yourselves when you're doing all that. Recognize that that's not who you are. There are other practices that are very interesting in various Buddhist schools. For example, the prostration. That's a very interesting practice. Because you're letting go of that ego, personality, crap that you're carrying. And you're just saying, I'm giving into as it is. I'm letting go of my idea of what it is, and giving into what it actually is. And that practice can be really helpful. You know, chanting, mantras can be very useful at times in our lives when, you know, we're stuck. We got to find a way to just get through it momentarily. It's not who we are. We're not stuck, actually, but we feel stuck in that moment. So we find a tool, a technique that helps us get through it. So I'd like to hear from you all. What's happening today? How are we doing? Remember that questions are the best way to really understand what's happening. Or share an experience, you know, just something that is on your mind.
I'll share some.
Okay, good.
Break the silence.
Thank you.
It's in respect to what we were just saying. And yesterday, girlfriend and her friend, we went to downtown to try to find some place to eat in that old melange. Because the parking was crazy, I just drove up to the front door where we were going to eat, let them out because her friend was a child inside. And so I ran away to go park at our far away. And I did that and started walking towards the restaurant. And it was this really dense four-way stop and lots of people and cars on every stop sign lined up. And there's this old man in a wheelchair who's in a crosswalk, but he starts to veer into the center of the four-way stop. And he just pauses. And he's got, and it's night, it's kind of nighttime, so there's headlights on from every direction. And it didn't appear like he was going to move. And I looked around, I was like, is somebody going to like open their door or away from their dining table, or even notice that this guy's like in the middle of an intersection and is obviously confused? I just kind of like automatically ran over to him. I wasn't trying to be a good guy.
I get you.
You know, yeah. I just was going up because he was in, you know, he's holding up traffic, you know, and somebody's going to get angry with him, and it's going to be a thing. And so I just walked up to him and said, can I help you? And immediately, as if he wasn't there, he just began spouting hateful words. I mean, it was just machine gun fire. And I was like, okay. And I just let him rant, because as he was ranting, he started moving. And so I just like walked next to him and just let him do his thing. And then finally we're out of the intersection. And I was like, okay, we'll have a good night. And as I'm walking away, he's just, you know, still like, I won't say what he was saying here, but it was not nice. The interesting thing about that for me, you know, is that number one, you know, I wasn't doing that to be a good guy. I just saw there's just something there that needs to be done. So you do it and then it's done. The other interesting part about that is that all of that was going on and there was nothing but darts coming at me, and I didn't feel a single one. And even as I was walking away, I didn't feel any change in state. It's as if like, you know, there wasn't like this permission to have something, you know, offend me or affect me or make me feel like, oh, you're a terrible human. That yes. wasn't any of that. So I thought that was pretty interesting for me to just kind of like do something and it be done and not be somehow identified with it or yes. affected by it.
That's wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. When you really understand what needs to be done in the moment and you do it, but you're not appreciated for it. So if you're looking for appreciation, which you weren't, but if you were, then all those zingers and dings would have hit you. That's what identification does. It gets you stung. So very good. Thanks for sharing.
I had some this week. Me and two other instructors at school were very publicly accused of racism and sexism. And it was, we were reviewing students' portfolios, and a student was doing a book about punk rock and was showcasing the history of punk rock and was showcasing portraits of African-American women done for punk style. And we were asking, like, what's the significance? Because it's about... It's about the African American experience of punk rock, because our experience was that it was very, very homogenous. And by bringing this up, what ended up happening was the Zoom call accidentally went in public. We were accused of racism and sexism. It was very embarrassing. And it was very, and it really kind of put like a, you know, their fear kind of chilled me. And I remember they wanted to have a meeting with us. So we had a meeting with them on Friday. And I called Will and I said, like, you know, I was like getting paranoid, my job on the line, all this stuff. We knew what it was as instructors. The administration knew what it was. But it was just something that was really hard to kind of sit there and take from these kids and to allow this to pass. And it ended up going fine. Everything's fine. But still, it was a real challenge to not react.
Yeah. Because I, me, and mine will not work with the perfections. It just doesn't work because it's not real. Perfections are about what's real. So what's real is who you actually are. And even though someone misinterprets who you are in a moment because of their own projections from their own mind, just like the crazy guy, they're just projecting. You were projecting too, but you know, but if you drop it, then it doesn't have any place to land.
It was funny because the accusations didn't really affect it was me personally, because I was going, well, I know what this is.
Yeah.
I know myself. So that didn't affect me. But then when we had to sit through the conversation and assume the role of the wrongdoer for the sake of letting this go, by us being silent and listening, where I was assuming that role, I was going like, this feels gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So projections are wherever they're coming from. It's this idea that I'm right. It's this idea that I have something, or I have a right to be indignant about something, because here's a perfect example. This guy puts himself in the most difficult situation on purpose, so he can just let all that energy out. He's got all this energy built up. He's so caught up in that. So he needs to let it go. It's just a super expression of what we all do. We feel belittled. We feel less than. We feel ignored. We feel all these things. And this explosion, you know, we have all these little explosions. We create all these circumstances for ourselves in order to be right. You're not treating me right. But that exchange, that was good. Compassion is important in this picture. Compassion for him. You know, compassion for the students and their projections and their misunderstanding of what was going on, and for your own misunderstanding. I mean, you know, it all kind of like was a setup in a way. You were set up. So it turned out to be okay. And some of the students, you know, will carry on with their attitude, but that's okay. They have to learn that they're not their attitudes. You know, I just want to live a good life and contribute positively rather than tear things apart, tear them down.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually remarked on something somebody had said today. It's like there was this post, very Jungian page. So, you know, people read the books and then they start parroting the language and getting everything right with that. And but sometimes these things will come up and I'll look at them and I'll just do a double take and that's silly. So they have this like meme or this image some artist did of this person, you know, just like, you know, totally traumatized and all these like lines going up everywhere with maybe, I don't know, yes, not, you did. And then this comment about the world being a crazy place and it's hard to keep your sanity. And it just, you know, I mean, it annoys me a little bit because, you know, really. So we have to kind of like do 101 every once in a while so that we can at least, you know, bring the playing field somewhere level so that we're not frothy and, you know, thinking that all these things that we're saying are like the truth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like you have your circle of concern, you have your circle of influence, which the circle of concern is modus operandi these days, you know, all these crazy things in Ukraine and whatever we're offered on the news is the thing that we're supposed to be concerned about. But, you know, it's like, and I personally for years have been like trying to drive this particular point that, you know, the world is made up of a bunch of cells and we're like, we're depleting ourselves, which is one of those cells by, you know, remarking on controlling, you know, or trying to direct the other cells. I mean, if our blood cells were to do that, we'd deteriorate in no time. Because we wouldn't have one good blood cell. They'd all be wagging their finger at the other cells. I think especially now, because we're all in the public square now, you know, so if something happens, I got you. And it can just happen like that. And I can understand the fear, but you know, it's it's an evolutionary fluke, but I think we're not going to get away from it anytime soon.
Yeah.
I think that's okay because, you know, something baseless can't really last forever, right?
Right.
So our youth will grow old just like we did.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, something comes of that.
All right.
I'd like to share that I'm not responsible for people's reactions to what I say and what I do.
Yeah.
It's not.
No, of course not.
If I think that I'm acting with, if I come from a solid base and I'm trying to follow the pyramids and I'm trying to lead a life that I think is right and true and authentic, let me say authentic.
Yeah.
I'm not responsible for how people respond to me. So if you're not responsible, then that takes away all that sort of releases me.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I would just comment that I think it's really interesting, the experience that you share and the kind of parallels and divergence between the two experiences, because the one that you had, this person did not know you, you did not know that person. So it was very clear and very easy to say, I'm not going to become attached to their reaction. I know it's about me. This person doesn't know me. They know nothing about me. So you can do that. In your situation, there was relationship and there is attachment. But I think it raises the point, if we can bring your experience to the experiences where we have relationships with people, and for a moment, I think there's value in stepping back and saying, hey, somebody's putting this out here. Let me just check on this. You know, and like, is there anything I need to adjust? And you evaluate and you say, no, I think I'm okay with this. I think I'm okay with what I'm doing. And then being able to have that mindset that you expressed, of being able to say what you said, you know, detaching from the response. But it's hard to do that when you have the relationship and the experiences.
Totally right. And I work in a very demanding field. There's millions of dollars being slung around and lots of egotistical alpha males. And it is a challenge, and it is much easier to deal with this crazy guy in a wheelchair who I can help and then go away. But my challenge is the slings and arrows that I come to on Monday, which is completely more complex and much, much more difficult to, and I lose my shit sometimes, you know, but for the most part, I try to manage, but yeah, you're completely 100% right.
Yeah. So the most helpful thing for me in my relationships is always coming back to this moment, doing that reflection. Is this what's happening here? What is this? And what is my responsibility in this? And then very quickly, it can move and you can see, okay, no, it's not my responsibility. It's something they're working on. Okay. Then you just be present to it, you know, and so you just take it moment to moment. You don't try to form it into, you know, putting all these things together and creating a circumstance that we're in, you know, and the world sucks and all of that. And you just have this great big problem you can't possibly solve all of a sudden. You know, if you just take it moment to moment right now, what's this? And deal with it in the moment. The rest, in my experience, takes care of itself. Now, can I lose it? Sure. And I do, you know. But that's also part of the experience. I mean, it's just, you know, that's it. Oh, there, I lost it that time. You know, and if you need to apologize, you do, or whatever. But you just take responsibility for your life. You just do. But that doesn't mean you're taking responsibility for how other people are responding to you. It's just moment, in this moment, what can you do? You can't do what was in the past anymore. You can't do what's in the future. You can only do what's in this moment. So you always come back to this moment, even in those complex situations. I mean, to decompress them, to make them less complex, you have to be present. So if you're in your head or in your emotional state about it, and then you have to process all that, where if you can be just clear, just do it. You know, it's like sweeping the floor, doing the dishes, going to sleep when you're tired. Just whatever it is, you just do it. Like right now, we're going to go to lunch. That was great, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.